This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
This has me very rattled.
Can you come in here, please?
What?
This is bad. Bad, bad, bad.
I'm officially out of control.
Stop thinking with your dick.
That's all right. I'll just attribute this to your drinking problem.
I could walk out of here and boom. You're very unique.
Free yourself from the confines of the past. Here to guide us towards the life we want to live.
God's chose well.
Our compassionate counsellor, Stu Fenton.
You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Andrew the Apprentice and Dylan are here. Now, Dylan, you are, of course, co-host of Generation Next.
Yeah, we deal with a lot of issues surrounding LGBTI youth inclusion, and something that comes up a fair bit is, I guess, depression and anxiety.
And a lot of that, unfortunately, has a direct correlation with what happens to us in our even younger years, in our early teens and mid-teens in particular, and that it is, of course, bullying. Mm. And to discuss some of those issues tonight is, of course, our compassionate counsellor, joining us every month here, Stu Fenton. Good evening.
Hello, guys. How are you going?
Very well, thank you.
Oh, I'm quite lovely. Thanks for asking, Stu. That was so formal.
It is very formal. Stu, bullying causes a shitload of damage, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Like when I mean, we've talked about a lot of issues here on Hide and Seek over the last couple of years, and I was thinking about it tonight. You know, like when clients come to see me, there's always a range of different issues, but I often find that probably in over 50-60% of cases in a gay man's history, there's been bullying, you know, to some extent, and you get very extreme cases, and you get and I mean, of course, you have guys as well who were very their sexuality wasn't overt or anything in school, and they never got teased or bullied for it. But I feel quite touched by the courage and the journeys of the guys that, you know, really struggled with it. Like, I'm thinking of one guy that I worked with in the rehab, you know, who grew up in Mount Druitt but was very feminine. And he, just the way that he had to adjust to being in that environment and what he had to do to survive, you know. And, you know, we were talking about the side effects of that. I mean, he was diagnosed with schizoaffective disorder, while he was in the rehab, and so, you know, go on.
Stu, I was just going to ask, what's a psychodefective disorder?
Well, I mean, this is the thing too, because in the DSM-3 or 4, whatever it is we're up to now, the book that describes all the different mental health issues that you have, schizoaffective disorder is just a particular kind of strain of mental health issue that's characterized by, you know, like weeping a lot and not being able to contain your emotions and sort of like going, you know, that going between being able to hold it together but also losing it as well. And I mean, there's other characteristics to this disorder, but for this particular guy, I mean, he could be okay on some days and be really okay with trying to travel along in life, and then on other days he would just be inconsolable and weeping. And I think a lot of that is trauma. I think, you know, young gay men, you know, who get bullied constantly day after day at school suffer a lot of PTSD, a lot of trauma that they carry with them into their, you know, their 20s and 30s.
I absolutely agree. I remember reading a study earlier on this year, we talked about it on Generation Next, and a lot of gay men specifically, not so much lesbian community, but however, gay men, you hear it a lot, I hate other gay men. I don't have any other gay friends. I don't make friends with other gay people. And this,
really?
This mentality, it stems from internalized homophobia. Well, it's all directly correlated to internalized homophobia.
Ah, okay.
And these came from experiences where they were put down for, you know, all the years of high school for being gay, so they don't want to reflect certain key attributes. But what they're looking at are like an idea of a person rather than them as themselves. It's quite insidious in its nature.
Absolutely, and you know, that's why there's so much healing to be done in this area. I mean, on that same topic, the amount of guys I sit with that, you know, like, we have to work through, I hate myself, I hate my sexuality, I hate the fact that I'm gay. You know, the fact that I was gay is what drew so much attention to me in high school that got me bullied day after day after day. And, you know, kids in high school, in their teens, they're relentless.
Absolutely, and that's why it's so important to drum that message that being homosexual, or even for our trans community, being homosexual or transgender, it doesn't cause depression and anxiety. However, homophobia and transphobia, that's what causes depression and anxiety.
Absolutely. I mean, this is the thing that I really kind of love and am passionate about working with, is trying to, you know, get guys to realise pretty much what you just said. It's not their sexuality that's bad. It's the way that the society and the school culture and all those sort of things have led them into feeling about themselves, you know. And so there's a whole lot of healing work. Like, I'll give you an example. Another client that I work with, who has terrible sort of trauma from his high school years, he just tried to make himself invisible at school so that he just... so that these guys that bully him all the time wouldn't see him. And now the way that he's sort of creatively adjusted to life is he goes around and he feels invisible in the world. And, you know, like, the sense I make of that is that he spent so long trying to not be seen by anyone so that he didn't draw this bullying attention. Now in the world, his resentment to the world, you know, against the world, is that no one can see him. And so we have to try and undo that in a way so that he feels a part of the world and a part of life.
Oh, that's intense. Can I just ask, from, as you are, you know, the compassionate counselor, you would have probably come into contact with gay men, or young gay men, older gay men who have self-medicated. They may have turned to alcohol or drugs to get themselves through a moment, and however they may have developed, say, a dependency, or as soon as they correlate going out now, it comes down to alcohol and drug use.
Well, I think that's one of the many different consequences of having that trauma or having experienced bullying in your younger years, is that, and it's about, like, they're stumbling into the gay scene and they do find a safe haven where there's no more bullying, or, you know, that they're accepted and they kind of start to feel okay there. And then, you know, what can often happen, not all the time in the gay scene, but often with these kinds of guys, is that they start using drugs, and they find drugs, and they find that these also allow them to distance themselves from those feelings that haven't been really dealt with. And I think that really the problem is that those feelings and those experiences, if they're not dealt with, do lead on to problems in later life, like whether it be abuse of drugs or alcohol, or the accumulation of all those suppressed feelings that become depression or become anxiety or other things that sort of get worse and worse as they get older.
We are talking to Stu Fenton, our compassionate counsellor here on Hide and Seek. It's your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Dylan, you're doing a sterling job here.
Oh, I think so.
And we'll be back to talk to Stu a bit more about a few things. I want to talk a bit about what happens when you get put down continually over many years, and what that does to your confidence, really, and capacity to make friends. As you mentioned, Dylan, it does have an impact.
No, sometimes it can last a whole lifetime.
It can. So we'll talk to Stu a little bit more about that right after this. You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
Hide and Seek. Joy 94.9.
That's right. You're with Andrew the Apprentice and Dylan Adler, and we are talking to our compassionate counsellor, Stu Fenton. Stu, the lack of confidence that occurs amongst our community is unfortunately way too common.
Yeah, I think there definitely is. I mean, some kids grow up, like I said, at the other end of the spectrum, where they sort of don't get noticed in high school or don't draw that attention to them, and they do have that opportunity to grow up with a bit of confidence. And, you know, because you can imagine that being seen in that light or having that attention drawn to you is going to chip away at your self-esteem and your confidence.
Absolutely. There are some people who walk through high school and nothing happens. However, there's a a fair few of us that walk through high school with a bit of a target on our backs, and it gets quite grating. What are some, I guess, measures or some things people can do who may have been picked on? They may have gone through horrible years in high school, and they have got no confidence or no sense of self. What would you, how would you help someone in that situation, Stu?
Well, I think there's a lot of different ways you can go around that. I mean, as you know, I've just moved down to Melbourne from Sydney, but I know up in Sydney, our equivalent, well, we've got an organisation called ACON. Do you know what the equivalent of that down here
is? It's the VAC down here?
Yeah, so I don't know if they do the same things, but up there they run a lot of groups for youth and a lot of support groups, and also for people in who are older as well, to sort of look at things like that, and specifically things like anxiety and confidence and that. So that's one way you can go about it. I would suggest another way is to go see a therapist and a counsellor and bring it up as a particular issue. But I think before any of that really happens, there has to be a sort of acceptance and awareness that that's the problem. And, you know, I can remember in a funny kind of way, like I used to live in Melbourne 17, 18 years ago, and I was about 26, and I wanted to do something in the community. And I remember I was making a documentary about kids that had survived bullying, funnily enough. I'm just remembering this now. And one of the guys that I did the interview with, I remember talking to him, and he was describing the bullying that he experienced, you know, like guys always pushing the folders out of his hands and calling him names. And he said every day was just so hard. And in the interview, he was just saying how over it he was now, and he was a successful hairdresser and he'd moved on. And I just remember, you know, packing up from that interview, and that night he was out taking a massive amount of drugs and getting shit-faced. And I remember noticing that that was his pattern for a long time. So I think you've got to have some awareness, because, you know, without that, you can't make that first step of going to see a therapist or join a support group. And, you know, and the rebuilding of your confidence takes a long time. It's something you've got to work at step by step, and you know, then go out and practice in different places, in different situations, like in a work environment. You know, just how you can have healthy relationships with people again, and how you can learn to trust yourself. And I think, honestly, a lot of that happens in relationship with a therapist, building a sort of sense of self that is, I am okay, all that stuff that happened to me isn't actually about me, it was about the way that other people perceive me, you know, I am perfectly okay the way that I am, however that is.
And Dan here in Victoria, of course, we've got Minus 18, which does some absolutely brilliant work at supporting young people. Mm. But as you said, it's a case of, I guess, having the confidence being able to build the confidence enough to make that first step in engaging with the community.
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
I was going to ask, Stu, were you ever bullied in your life?
Yeah, I was actually, and I think I've spoken to Andrew and Dean about this in one of our other talks, and I was very effeminate when I was at school, and so I got teased a lot in that way, and I got called names, and all my nicknames were sort of related to being effeminate or being homosexual, and it was very, I wouldn't say that I was as bullied as bad as a couple of these clients that I had, because for them it was just daily, and there was never any letting up, and for me it was more sporadic. And I was in a boarding school as well, so it was
like no escape.
No escape. But I definitely have had a taste of it and a sense of it, and I think that even you know, I've had a history with drug addiction myself.
Yeah.
So I would say that aspects of that were related to my drug addiction, not feeling good about myself, believing what other people had said about me. And my own journey, you know, back to where I am today, has been about building my confidence and building my self-esteem and coming to realize that I am okay and every aspect of me is fine. You know, like nothing about me was ever broken. I just assumed it was broken because these people were saying that you're effeminate or you're not okay or that you're a poofter and all that sort of stuff.
And that can take a while to really realise, isn't it, at the end? And a lot of hard work.
Well, yeah, definitely a lot of hard work, and it's really hard to face up to that stuff too, because you know a lot of my journey was about taking steroids and trying to make my physical stature look very masculine or hyper masculine to get as far away from feeling effeminate as possible, and that lasted for a very long time for me, and it's taken years to be able to go, you know, like, this is who I am, this is who I am in the world, and you know what? That's okay. And it's really just our society, and especially some aspects of our Aussie society, that have this whole culture of, oh, that's gay, and you know that's girly, and what's, you know. And I have to say something too, something I realized today was that all those things that I used to get teased for, my softness, my gentleness, all that, those are the things today that I love about myself, my capacity to be gentle, and they've worked out to be my strength, you know, in my profession. And so I always think it's funny how much I wanted to get away from, you know, those bad aspects of myself, and in the end what it turned out to be is that those parts of me were my strength.
It's funny when it comes down to bullying, when there are put downs and nasty sentiments raised. Generally, they're people who are jealous, or they're wanting that, so they're wanting to shoot you down for having it. It's a bit of like a misdirection of anger.
Which people are you talking about?
The bullies.
The bullies coming from the bullier.
Well, see, it's an interesting idea, because when I ended up working in a rehab long term, I had this amazing day one day where this one guy who'd been a bully in high school was in a group with another guy who had been bullied and teased for being effeminate, and the guy who was the bully just broke down in tears when this other guy was talking about being bullied and the horrible impact on him, and he was just saying, I'm sorry, even though it wasn't him that actually bullied the other guy. But this, sometimes I think the bullies, for whatever reason, learn to be bullies in their own process. Either they felt powerless in their families, or they were bullied by their fathers, so the only way they could feel power was to bully others. So, but down the track, those bullies sometimes even turn out to be gay. You know, I've heard that as well.
Oh, yeah. Someone from my high school who mercilessly used to harassed
really?
Me. Yeah, he sent me a Facebook message like a couple of years ago, and he's saying, "I'm sorry for everything I did. I'm also gay." And I was just like, "Well, I still hate you. I'm sorry, that's not going to change Jack."
Sometimes you can work on yourself, Stu, but sometimes there's not a lot of forgiveness, is there?
No, but I mean, that's a process as well, isn't it?
Maybe we can do that one on another evening, the process of forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
Stu Fenton, our compassionate counsellor, so thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Yes, really enjoyed it. Thanks, guys.
And, of course, you can catch Stu's website. What's your new website? You had a new website, didn't you?
It's stufenton.com.au, and I'm down working out of Armidale now in Melbourne.
Well, you'll have to make sure you join us in the studio probably during, later in November. You can come in and join us in the studio.
I would love to.
Stu Fenton, thank you very much. You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. We'll be back right after this.
The information provided by our health professional is general in nature and is not intended to replace personal medical advice. Always take responsibility for your physical and mental health by consulting your personal doctor.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.